Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. We've got playoff DFS, and Tags, this is a whole different animal, isn't it?
It really is. It's kind of like Thanksgiving slate where you have to figure things out. It's like on a much smaller slate, but you know that everybody's looking at every single game, whereas, you know, in casual DFS, you know, during the regular season, some people may not look at the Dolphins or the Bengals, and sometimes DFS players get a big advantage on that. But during a slate like this, everybody's going to be looking at every game, so you kind of got to dig deep and find some value if you want to win some tournaments.
So we're going to do it totally different today. Usually throughout the season, what we do is we just go position by position. We start at running back, then wide receiver, quarterback, tight end, DST, then flip around and go GPP. Today, we're going to try to cover every relevant player, so we're going to need to fly, and we've got a great analyst joining us. It's Chris Raybon of Action Network HQ and Fantasy Labs. He's on Twitter at his name, Chris Raybon. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and Tags is at Mike Tagliere NFL. And Chris, we just finished our expert accuracy competition for rankings, and you finished number 4 this year out of like 135 contestants.
Yeah, man. Very humbled to crack the top 5. A lot of great, sharp guys in this industry, always growing as usual. So, thank you guys over at Fantasy Pros for the platform. And just humbled, and congrats to everybody who also did their thing.
Yeah, congrats, man. That's pretty awesome. So I'm expecting you to get everything right today. Pressure's on.
I'll try. Well, let's do it. Let's get this money.
All right, guys, we're going to get into the meat of the show here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you a little story, okay? So I got off church, and I had like an hour until the slate locked, like a 20-minute drive home. And I saw that there was a ton of overlay in this big old tournament. So what I did, I drove home, and I had about 40 minutes to put in 150 lineups. So what I did is I used the DFS optimizer at fantasypros.com/optimizer, and I excluded the players I didn't want to use, and I set these player exposure limits. That way I got at least 40% of Michael Thomas and at least 15% of certain players. And then I just clicked the button, and it generated 150 lineups for me. I imported it. Guys, I still had time to spare, and guess what? I won a $1,500 ticket to a big NBA contest next month, and it was all because the DFS optimizer saved me hours of time that it would have taken to build all those lineups. You can check it out and use it at fantasypros.com/optimizer. And by the way, it works for NBA and MLB as well. Only Hall of Fame users can get the most out of our DFS tools. If you don't already have Hall of Fame, we have a special $10 offer for 6 months of our Hall of Fame package, and you can get more details and claim this offer today by going to fantasypros.com/offers. And again, you can check out the optimizer at fantasypros.com/optimizer. So guys, we're doing FanDuel and DraftKings, and it's a little bit different on both of these sites this weekend. DraftKings is doing Saturday and Sunday as the main slate. FanDuel's main slate, they've got two of them. They've got a Saturday main slate and a Sunday main slate where most of the big competitions are. They've also got a Saturday and Sunday slate, but because of that, we're splitting it up and just going game by game. And we'll start with the Saturday afternoon game. We've got Houston against Buffalo. I also want to talk about it from a prediction standpoint. Who do you guys have winning this game? Tags, you first.
Buffalo.
Me too.
I know Houston's the favorite, but going through the teams and matching them up, like looking at it, I just, Bill O'Brien's playoff teams haven't really showed up a lot under him, and I just think the Bills match up better with the way the Houston defense is right now. They're just lacking so much talent on that team. The injuries they've suffered, whatever the case may be, Will Fuller potentially being out of the lineup. There's a lot of things that are still up in the air, but...
And J.J. Watt's back, but like, who knows how good he'll actually be playing with that injury.
Correct. Yeah, the Bills can play their brand of football in a dome. You don't have to worry about weather conditions. Yeah, I'm going to take the Bills here.
Who do you have, Chris? I'm going Bills outright. Texans are 2.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I like the Texans. John Ewing actually did a great piece. It's up on actionnetwork.com right now. And he looks at quarterbacks making their first NFL playoff start. And, of course, Josh Allen being one of them. And since 2002, quarterbacks in those spots are 14-30, straight up 12-31-1 against the spread. So I think this is a situation where, yeah, I do agree. I have a lot of respect for Sean McDermott. And I think he is the better coach, and the Bills have the better staff in this matchup. However, I think that gets you to the playoffs. But the quarterbacks, you know, there's still a pretty large discrepancy, I think, in the quality of quarterback play between Deshaun Watson and Josh Allen, and so I do think that the Bills, you know, will you know, the mistakes that we've seen Allen kind of cut down over a large portion of the season. And granted, the Bills did play a pretty easy schedule. The Texans' schedule is a lot more difficult. I think that you see guys like that. If there's a game where, you know, you see a mistake or a fumble or an interception or something that, you know, hasn't happened as much during the regular season, in getting to this point, I think it's more likely to occur at the hands of a guy like Josh Allen. So I do agree. I think this is should be a good game, should be a close one, but going with the better quarterback in the Houston Texans here.
So it's really interesting, Tags, right? Because over on DraftKings, we've got Deshaun Watson, who's clearly the better quarterback. And he's the favorite, but he's a lower price than Josh Allen. Are you using Deshaun Watson this weekend at quarterback?
I would not. I'm away from Watson. I don't like him in cash or tournaments, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not using him against Buffalo. There's two quarterbacks I like more than Watson, but it's just interesting that he's cheaper than Allen.
Well, it's tough to say that Watson's totally off the tournament slate just because, you know, we only have 8 quarterbacks playing. So, you know, with his mobility, you want to keep that under consideration. But Buffalo all year long, there was not a single quarterback, and that includes Lamar Jackson, who finished better than QB10 against them. Even Lamar Jackson, it was 19 fantasy points. Going back to the start of last year, this is a team that has not allowed a quarterback to score, I think, more than 22 or 23 fantasy points against them. So the ceiling is not that high. And Watson, let's not pretend that he's been playing very well over the last few weeks. He hasn't. With Watson under center, basically his numbers take a nosedive when Fuller's out of the lineup. And I don't know if Fuller plays in this game. I know that they're saying that it's up in the air and they don't know the answer to that. If Fuller plays,
it might just be coach speak to make Buffalo have to prepare for him.
That's my guess. But Tre'Davious White's going to be covering DeAndre Hopkins. That's like a given. So it would just help Watson more so. And I just don't know if Houston can run the ball well enough to take advantage of the Bills' only weakness, which is really on the ground. So that's why I would have no issue if you wanted to say Houston wins this game in a close one. But if you're picking Houston, I would say that they win because of the they win, and I would take the under. So this is not a game I'm attacking from a DFS standpoint, particularly in tournaments.
Okay, so Chris, I get it that Deshaun Watson hasn't been playing as well lately and that it's a horrible matchup, but let me run this by you. New England, 28 fantasy points. Faced Denver, 30 fantasy points. Both these games were at home. Both of these were elite pass defenses. Could you use Deshaun Watson in GPP?
Oh, absolutely. And I think Tags hit it. You know, there's 8 quarterbacks on the slate. I believe Drew Brees will be the highest owned. And that's, you know, in cash games, I think he's the play. But in tournaments, I think you do look at every quarterback, because there's essentially 4 matchups, 8, you know, potential essentially game scripts that could really transpire. And I think whether Houston gets jumps out to a lead or is playing from behind, I think that mobility for Watson and just the talent. I mean, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the few receivers in this league that stands a chance against Tre'Davious White. So I think in tournaments, he's a good play, especially, you know, when you're getting that kind of discount there on DraftKings, even relative to a guy like Josh Allen, who, again, you know, 12-31 against the spread for first time starters, that could be a trouble spot for Allen. And Tags mentioned the under. In Josh Allen's starts in his career as a road underdog, the under 10-1.
Ooh, man.
Sean McDermott in his career with the Buffalo Bills, when they go on the road, the under 18-7. And then Bill O'Brien, when the Texans are at home as a favorite, the under is 23-14. This is all courtesy of BetLabs, part of the Action Network. You know, there are some numbers that kind of favor overs in indoor spots in the postseason, but most of those are when the total is 45 and a half or higher, and that's when the over hits at a high rate. This is a kind of a below average scoring expectation game to begin with. So yeah, I do agree that I think from a quarterback perspective, with it correlating a lot to implied totals, because 2/3 of offensive touchdowns essentially are passing, I think you do look to some of these other games as well, rather than kind of looking at this one as a big tournament game for quarterbacks.
Those are some great numbers, man. I just want to throw this out there. I like Deshaun Watson for GPP because we've seen him tear up great defenses before. It can happen with Watson. Like Josh Allen, I love him. I've used him in GPP quite a bit this year, but he's only had one really good game, and it was against Miami. He's been really safe, so I could see using him in cash games. I've got a quarterback that I just love for cash games, and we'll get to him. But Josh Allen, I would not touch him in GPP. I'd let other people go that direction. Now let's go to the running backs in this game. Tags, how do you feel about them?
Devin Singletary is someone I would consider in cash. It's tricky, though, because I don't feel the need to attack him just because they did price him up to $6,000 on DraftKings. Houston is one of the, I think, four defenses in the league who allowed more fantasy points through the air to running backs than they have on the ground. They're not an elite run defense. They're really not. It's just teams just don't tend to run the ball against them. I don't know if it's just reputation or whatever, but they've allowed 4.61 yards per carry on the year. But the biggest worrisome part about Devin Singletary is he's number three on this team for carries inside the red zone. On the year, the Bills have totaled 22 carries in there, and Singletary has gotten two of them, while Frank Gore and Josh Allen get the rest of them. And so many people are saying that Frank Gore's in the background. Well, they keep bringing him in on the goal line, and that's the problem with Singletary. It's capping his upside, so you're kind of looking for a big play out of him or a lot of uses in the passing game. And if you're doing that, you're kind of looking for them to be playing from behind, and I'm not projecting that. I think this is going to be a close game regardless. No matter who you pick to win it, it's going to be a close fought game. I can't see a whole lot of pass attempts out of the Bills here, so Singletary is the one that I think I'd be interested the most in cash, but I don't feel it's necessary to play him.
Chris, I'm not playing either Hyde or Singletary in cash games. I'm not playing Duke Johnson in GPP. First of all, on DraftKings, Devin Singletary, let me take a look here. Yeah, he's the fifth most expensive running back on DraftKings. Over on FanDuel, he's ninth most expensive, but it's all bunched pretty close there. And plus, you've got the Saturday slate, so maybe you will have to play Devin Singletary over there since there's only four running back options. And that's not a bad price on FanDuel. But on DraftKings, I definitely wouldn't touch either of these guys for cash games. How do you feel?
I think Singletary is the top play in cash.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, because when you look at it, in the last meaningful game for Buffalo, which was 2 weeks ago when they were trying to, steal the division, he not only in all the touches, he played 52 of the 54 offensive snaps. Frank Gore played two. So, this is the most important game of the year. Singletary, one of the more talented backs in this league. I think this is why they got him. And I think, I think Josh Allen is the main worry when you talk about, goal line usage. I think that Singletary will be in there on most of the snaps, and I think there's a better chance than there was for most of the season that Singletary is in fact the goal line back in this spot. Also, Houston, they do struggle, covering running backs out of the backfield. And Singletary, you have John Brown, Cole Beasley. Singletary, essentially, if you look at the median targets expectation, is the third most targeted player on the Bills, like slightly ahead of Dawson Knox in this spot. So Houston's number 27 in DVOA on targets to running backs. I think Singletary would be a huge part of this game plan.
I was actually saying that I think that he's a better cash play than tournament. Would you say that that's correct?
I think so, but I don't think he's a bad tournament play only because when you look at the backs, Alvin Kamara, of course, Dalvin Cook, and then Derrick Henry, who else on this slate has that, 20 touch upside with usage in both the run and pass game? And
Boston Scott, if Miles Sanders is out.
I have a contrarian viewpoint on that one. I think Jordan Howard will be involved heavily in this
game. I agree with you exactly. Yeah, I was going to save that.
But no, I mean, and it's fair, again, if Buffalo struggles, and I think, you worry about Buffalo just struggling, obviously that impacts everyone on the offense. But I do think that just because Singletary has that kind of dual threat capability and is significantly cheaper than the top three, I think he's in a kind of a tier of his own, to me, at least as the number four back on the slate. So I think he's a viable tournament play as well. But I do agree, he's more useful in cash because he's affordable and does have that kind of high touch floor, I think.
All right, guys, let's go on over to the wide receivers. And I'm looking at DeAndre Hopkins here. Second most expensive wide receiver, and for good reason, right? Thomas is the best wide receiver on the slate. Hopkins is the second best. But with the matchup against Tre'Davious White, our consensus projections have Hopkins as the number five wide receiver this week. And because of the price point, I can't spend it. Are either of you guys using him in cash games?
Mm-mm. Nah. I think it's Thomas Edelman is the two you want to use.
Yeah, I can't use him in cash. In tournaments, I have no issue with it. Because, like, so the reason that I like playing guys like Hopkins in tournaments in a situation like this, because, you know, the sharp guys know that Tre'Davious White's going to be covering him. But let's not pretend that DeAndre Hopkins isn't more talented than Tre'Davious White. He is. And he can win a one-on-one matchup with anybody. He can win contested catches. So it's more like when teams bracket wide receivers like Hopkins, like the Patriots would in some situations. That would be more worrisome, but if he's going to be one-on-one, I think that he does deserve some consideration in tournaments, but I don't think you should be overloaded regardless, because a big game against Tre'Davious White isn't a big game for DeAndre Hopkins, and generally speaking. I like John Brown at 6K better. He's a guy that's been seeing tons and tons of targets.
It's a great price.
The Texans' secondary has been better since they got Gary and Conley, but Jonathan Joseph is banged up. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Bradley Roby might not play. There's some issues in that secondary, and I just think people forget just how consistent John Brown was until he had this like nightmare slate over the playoffs. So I do think that John Brown at 6K is a good play in cash.
I would agree with that. I mean, you look at him, he's got double-digit PPR points in every game except for one this season. That was against Baltimore.
Yeah, in a slate like this, Chris, like how you know how we it's like 2.5x on normal slates. In a slate like this, do you think more of like along the lines of 2x, or you still want to shoot for that 2.5x?
Yeah, I think it kind of varies by just it's more than just looking at the multiplier. It's kind of just comparing him to the few options that you really have as alternatives. And I think from that perspective, regardless of the multiplier, I think John Brown is one of the top plays. Cash or, well, more so cash, again, because he does have that high floor where he's only been under 50 yards. I think it's three times all season long. He's been a consistent option. I don't think that Texans secondary is very strong. And the Bills generally have a pretty concentrated target share. I also do, like, I want to say I love Cole Beasley in this spot, because I think when you look at the Houston Texans defense, it's over the middle of the field. They are dead last in DVOA by a wide margin on passes to the middle, as well as passes to the short middle. And that's per Football Outsider. So I'm looking for Cole Beasley to have a big game and kind of get a lot of catches. I think this is a game where you see them lean on him to move the chains. And John Brown will kind of be that number one guy and is a bigger threat for a big play. But Cole Beasley could easily have, you know, or I shouldn't say easy because it's never easy for anyone but Michael Thomas, but he could have 8 to 10 catches and clear that 100-yard bonus on DraftKings in a spot like this.
I just hate the price they put Beasley at, because they put him at 400 cheaper than Brown. And so, like, the thing is, it's like you have to say, I like Beasley as a high-floor option, but I'd say Brown comes with a similar floor and a much higher ceiling.
I think Brown has a better floor and a better ceiling.
The floors are similar, I think, but $400 just doesn't justify. Like, I wish Beasley was like 5,200. I feel a little bit better about it, but I don't think he's a bad play at all.
I think of him as more of a GPP play than a cash play. I mean, Cole Beasley six times this season has 15 plus fantasy points. Four of the last five games, in fact, he's likely going to get a lot of targets, but he's had some real stinkers in there too. I wouldn't be using Cole Beasley in cash games. I like him for GPP quite a bit though. And I think that his ownership's actually going to be lower in GPP than it is in cash games.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that it's going to be a close game, or at least it projects to be, it's the playoffs. You don't see the Bills letting up, and you don't see them kind of mixing a whole bunch of guys in. I think this is a spot where, like, I would feel pretty confident in Beasley in cash, but I do agree. I think there's no need to use him in cash up at 5,600. But I think he's a guy that people should not sleep on, especially when you consider there's a guy like, for example, with Stephon Diggs. He could go up against Marshawn Lattimore. AJ Brown could, you know, get blanked by Gilmore. And then you start looking, okay, who else has that kind of upside of 100 yards, you know, five plus catches and a touchdown? And Beasley is in that conversation.
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. Any other wide receivers you want to talk about before we basically skip through tight ends in this game?
Well, the tight ends, Dawson Knox at 2,900. If you're looking for like a cheap tight end on this slate, I mean, most people are going to pay up. They're going to go to Goddard. Some people will play Cook, maybe even Hollister. But if you're looking for like one of the cheaper tight ends, I don't think Knox is a terrible option.
You're okay with getting one reception for 11 yards?
I'm not saying that's not going to happen, but in a slate with so much volatility and you want to save some money if you want to spend up, I mean, there have been 9 tight ends who have totaled at least 4 receptions against the Texans, and he's kind of like a pivot off Beasley, where it's like if you're looking over the middle of the field, and they obviously value Knox by not playing him in week 17. They kind of told you he's their guy. So at 2,900, I don't think I'm going to play him in my cash game lineup, but if you're like, I don't want to pay down at wide receiver or running back, you're going to have to find some value. And I think Dawson Knox at a very volatile position is not the worst play at 2,900.
I mean, if he gets in the end zone, he's getting 4x value, but I'd much rather go Irv Smith Jr. than Dawson Knox if I'm saving money.
Irv Smith and Kyle Rudolph share the role. I just hate it. What's your take on him, Chris?
I love the Knox call. I think he's a guy I've been talking up all week. I think he is, because of that weakness over the middle of the field, I think he's definitely in play. And again, he's a top four pass catcher on this team. And this is the playoffs where you usually see a guy, you know, those guys get the majority of the targets. So this could be his highest target game of the year. You know, that's in the realm of possibility.
All right, so this is expected to be the lowest scoring game on the slate, and you guys are taking the under here. So I'm assuming you're using one of these DSTs, Houston, Buffalo?
Defense is a crapshoot. I think it just depends on where the rest of your lineup construction goes. Chris, is there a defense that you're set on? I mean, at 3,100, you're paying up and you're losing a couple hundred dollars to go up to them, but Watson always does take sacks. Sacks are a real thing. Houston, their defense is banged up. I guess J.J. Watt might come back, but even with Watt on the field, they weren't particularly good this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the price, 2,600 on DraftKings for Houston, they are a favorite. Again, the under 10-1 in Allen's Road Dog starts, first-time starters in the postseason, 12-31 against the spread. I mean, you have to look at Houston's defense as a defense that has a more upside than usual in a spot like this. And at the price, I think they're a very viable punt play. And defense is definitely one of the positions in tournaments where you have to consider all eight, because even if a defense struggles or doesn't get the points allowed bonus or something like that, there's still the possibility of defensive touchdowns and things like that. So Allen has been a turnover prone guy for much of his career, kind of turned that around lately. But I actually do like the Houston defense and wouldn't ignore Buffalo either, but because of the value, I think Houston, they're coming up in the Raybon model on Fantasy Labs. Houston is coming up as the highest rated DraftKings defense.
Right. Yep. I'm going Houston on DraftKings. I'm going Buffalo Bills on FanDuel. I like their price point over there. And, Josh Allen has been not very turnover prone because of the game scripts they've been playing. And if they get behind in this game and he has to air it out, it could get ugly. Now, I don't like Houston's defense very much, but just going up against Josh Allen, I don't see any other quarterback that I'm confident is going to turn the ball over multiple times.
Guys, before we move on, one of the things that I love about my Apple Watch is how easy it makes my daily routine. I check it all the time when it comes to my fitness goals and whether I'm hitting my move goals now that the NFL season has slowed down a little bit. But here's something new that I love about my Apple Watch. It helps me take my personal trainer with me wherever I go. It's an app called Future that has changed the way I'm hitting my workout goals. I was assigned Corinne, and Corinne, what she does, she sends me messages throughout the day. She goes through my workouts. She's able to track my pulse through my workouts so she knows if I'm working hard enough, if I'm working too hard, and bases my fitness routine based on what she sees in those results. Future pairs you up with one of their world-class trainers and creates personalized workout plans tailored specifically to your schedule, your routine, your goals, and your progress. Your coach checks in with you daily to keep you on track, sending you texts, motivational messages, making adjustments to your routine, and following your progress logged onto your Apple Watch. You don't have an Apple Watch? Not a problem. When you sign up to train with Future, they send you everything you need, including an Apple Watch. Do not overpay for a trainer. Get the workouts you need to meet all your fitness goals and take your trainer with you wherever you go with Future. Sign up for Future today at tryfuture.com/fantasypros and get 50% off your first month. That's tryfuture.com/fantasypros for 50% off your first month. tryfuture.com/fantasypros.
All right, let's go to the next Saturday game here. We're looking at the New England Patriots at home against Tennessee. First, your picks. Chris, you go first.
So I think that the Patriots, this is a good spot for the Patriots. Motivation always plays a factor. I'm sure that the coaching staff would have liked the Patriots to come out not flat against Miami and blow that game. But the bottom line is they needed to win that game before that against Buffalo, and they showed up in that spot. Everyone's kind of talking about Tom Brady and the offense, but let's not forget that against a top five pass defense, coming into Foxborough a couple weeks ago, Brady goes 26-33 for 271 with a touchdown. No real mistakes in that game against one of the better defenses, one of the top defenses in this league. So this Titans defense, far from the quality of Buffalo in terms of their pass defense. So I like the Patriots as 4.5 point. It looks like that line has actually moved to 5 now. Brady covers at a 59% clip at home in the postseason.
Tags, I'm not betting this game. If I had to pick, I'd pick the Patriots by 3 or 4 points. I think they do win this game, but I'm not feeling confident enough about it to put any units down.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Patriots. This is a team that needs to win. They need to take advantage of, like, they need to build some sort of momentum. They are at home coming off that embarrassing loss. And you just don't bet against the Patriots in the playoffs. That's my rule. Even if you think that another team might make it to the Super Bowl, like Baltimore, KC, whatever, I would not bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the playoffs. So, I mean, if there's one time they're going to step up, it's here. But I'm with you. The line of five seems about right to me. If it was down, like, New England -3, I'd say, yes, absolutely New England. But five... With a Titans team that's playing pretty well on offense, and the Patriots defense has shown a little bit of weakness over the past month or so, I feel like the line's good, but I would say the under in this game. This is a game I think we can kind of go through relatively quick because, I mean, you guys could speak to it as well. I don't feel like I'm attacking many players in this game at all.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady's the second best cash game option at quarterback. I wouldn't use him in GPP at all. I mean, he hasn't had really any big games this season, but at his price point, yeah, I think you could use him so you can justify spending up on some other positions, especially at wide receiver. Chris, you already mentioned Thomas and Edelman. I think you've got to get them in your lineup. So Brady can help you do something like that. I'm not using Ryan Tannehill, of course, against the Patriots. Do you guys feel similarly about Brady, or would you just skip him altogether?
I'd skip him.
So I actually feel the opposite. I think he is a guy that I wouldn't touch in cash just because, like, I know the price is great, but I think that Drew Brees, you know, as well as he's playing in the dome where we've seen the over hit at a very high rate, both in Drew Brees' career and just indoors in the playoffs, I think that is the premier cash game.
And Minnesota's defense is just so disappointing. Like, Brees has to be the playing cash games. We don't even really need to talk about any other quarterbacks, right?
Right. But in tournaments, again, Brady, it's not like he's dead. Like, he showed a couple weeks ago that he can perform at a high level against a good defense. And this is a spot where I think there's a couple of different outcomes to how the Patriots could play it. Now, Tennessee has a better run defense than pass defense. They're number 10 in DVOA against the run. They're number 21 against the pass. So if the Patriots come out and attack that weakness, and you know, Julian Edelman getting healthier, there's a good chance that Brady, if he could hit 300 yards, because they're not going to take their foot off the gas, you know, in a playoff game. So I do think that in tournaments, especially being the lowest price and perhaps the lowest owned quarterback right there with Tannehill, that he is fully in consideration for GPPs. But in cash, yeah, I think he go Brees.
Brady over his last 11 games. This is a big sample. It's not like the past two games or anything. Last 11 games, Brady, he has a 59% completion rate, 6.2 yards per attempt, a 3.29% touchdown rate, and 15 fantasy points per game. His numbers over that time, like the closest comparison I could find was Mason Rudolph. I'm not kidding. And Mason Rudolph actually had a higher touchdown percentage and completion percentage, but that was the closest comp. So that's why I think I'm with Chris here that Brady, you don't use him in cash because his floor is just not high enough. If he has an off game throwing the ball, he offers nothing. But in tournaments, I'm down with that. And if you want to tell yourself the narrative that Brady is going to step up in the playoffs like he typically does, but don't forget this, though. Brady played three playoff games last year. He threw two touchdowns combined in all three of them. So it's not like he stepped up last year. It was more like Sonny Michel was the playoff MVP, essentially, for that team.
That's why I drafted Sonny Michel everywhere, and he just sucked.
Yeah, he was terrible this year. But Brady, I like the idea. In tournaments, I could talk myself into that.
All right, so running back position. I think Derrick Henry, as always, is... Don't use them in cash games. Great play in GPP. Chris, would you agree?
Absolutely. I think just the way the slate breaks down, Michael Thomas, like, you don't usually see this with wide receivers or say this with wide receivers over like a stud wide receiver over a stud running back. But this is a slate where I think Michael Thomas has a higher floor than any of the running backs on the slate. So, yeah, I think Thomas is a guy you want to prioritize paying up for. And then Edelman is another guy. And therefore, a guy like Derrick Henry here is a guy that, yeah, it's more of a GPP play. You know, I think he's going to break off some big runs. I think he'll end up with more than 100 yards. He'll probably get a touchdown. But just doesn't really fit into the way I think it's the optimal way to create cash lineups this week.
So here's what I'm doing for cash games. You guys tell me if I'm absolutely crazy. I think this is the right move. I'm using Sonny Michel and James White.
To be honest, I didn't think of going that direction, or at least I haven't. That's not been a build that I've looked at yet. But I will say this. Sonny Michel, last season, as Tags alluded to, 16.1 carries per game during the regular season. We get to the postseason, and he's up at 23.4. So I totally understand it. The one thing I would that gives me pause is that, you know, there is the Titans are better defending the run. And, you know, Belichick is a guy who they hone in on opponent weaknesses to the point where we've seen them, you know, when they go against teams that are better defending the run than the pass, like, we've seen them just throw the ball like pretty much every play. So I'm not kind of 100% sold on it, especially with Burkhead also a factor and Brandon Bolden, you know, every once in a blue moon will mix in. And now you got Landon Roberts playing fullback and all these different things where goal line touchdowns aren't a guarantee for Michelle. And that's what you really need. He's going to be a top tournament play for me. And I think all of the backs outside those top three are great tournament plays because just the ownership that Henry, Kamara and Cook will garner. But I think White, probably a safer cash play, especially on DraftKings, but I don't...
White's always safe in cash games, yeah.
Like, I don't know if you need any Patriots in cash outside of Edelman, to be completely honest, though.
You know, their implied score is 25 this week. I would expect them to run the ball quite a bit. I mean, since Landon Roberts moved from linebacker to fullback, they've run the ball with Sony Michel 19 times, 21 times, 18 times, and that's why I used him last week in cash games as well against Miami, and it worked out. I think it's going to work this week as well. And, you know, Sony Michel, of course, he's not a guaranteed to score the touchdown, but if you had to bet on one running back in this slate to score a touchdown, I'm picking Sony Michel. I don't know who you guys are picking.
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry against the Patriots? I don't know.
Because you don't expect him to... All right, think about it this way. Do you expect the Titans to not get shut out, right? Like, is it more likely that they score a passing touchdown or a rushing touchdown? Like, I almost feel like Henry...
That's true. That's true. Man, he had 32 carries last week, guys.
Yeah. Hey, this is they gotta ride him. They have to. They have to.
Tats and I saw him in person, and it's like, that is not a human being. He is a mammoth, dude. I don't think I've ever been more impressed seeing a person in real life than maybe Shaquille O'Neal was number one, but Derrick Henry was definitely 1B.
Yeah, I shook Shaq's hand. It engulfed mine, and I have big hands, and it was like literally, it's just hand has swallowed mine, but.
He takes up like three seats when he sits down. I'm not even exaggerating, man.
No, but Sony Michel, I like Sony. So I'm with you on this one, Bobby. At 4,600, he's almost like half the price of Derrick Henry. And I would say the odds of him scoring a touchdown are kind of equal. And I know that Sony isn't guaranteed to get all the goal line carries, but he's had 14 while no one else in the team has had more than five inside the 5 yard line. They have been giving him carries. He's averaged 20 carries over the last three games. He's been running the ball better, actually putting up some yardage. So if this is the time, like, I'm not opposed to using Sony Michel and saving some money.
You're using James White too?
I mean, White's more of a tournament play for me. I don't think I'm going to play him in cash though. We're going to touch on some of those other guys, but White, his touches have been going down. Like, he's been outtouched by Rex Burkhead in each of the last three games. So that's the worrisome part for me.
Let's move on over to the wide receiver position then. You mentioned Edelman, Chris. I think Edelman's a lock. Tags, you agree?
He's a lock in cash games. You have to play him.
Not just a lock, the lock of the week.
Michael Thomas is the lock.
You know, I just want to quickly throw out some numbers on Edelman. So for the, you know, when he started being a full-time receiver for the Patriots in 2013, when he was, getting, you know, 100 targets, 100 catches type guy, 6.6 receptions per game, 6.6, 6.8, 6.1, 6.2, 6.3 every year for the last six. In the postseason, he's played five postseasons. He missed one of them. The receptions per game starting in 2013, 8.0, 8.7, 8.5, 7.0, and 8.7. So
that's nuts.
The closest thing to Michael Thomas from a volume standpoint this week, I think, is not Hopkins. I think it's Edelman.
You know, guys, I love Mohamed Sanu, too, over on DraftKings at $3,900.
Yeah, people are playing N'Keal Harry over him, and that's why Harry's salary... I don't know. I'm not kidding. There is a cult, like, following for N'Keal Harry in DFS land, and I
love N'Keal Harry, but, like, for DFS, no, not yet.
The DFS community, people wanted to play Harry the last few weeks in cash, and they're like, oh, he's grown a role, and I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, this guy...
He's the number four wide receiver for a struggling Tom Brady.
He still hasn't topped 29 yards in a game. Sanu's playing all the snaps. Like, yeah, Sanu at 3,900. If you wanted to play him, I have no issue with that. And, I mean, it seems like Adoree Jackson's going to be back, which is a little bit more worrisome because Jackson's much better than what they've been putting out there. But at 3,900, he's not bad.
I'm not using Sanu right now, but there's legitimately a scenario where I would use four Patriots and none of them are Tom Brady. Because the prices are just so good.
I'll play Corey Davis over Mohamed Sanu.
I'm playing Corey Davis too, man. Let's get to Corey Davis. He has just shredded the Patriots in their two games. Chris, are you using him?
I think he's a great tournament play because I do think, you know, I'm not getting caught up in the, okay, Devontae Parker, kind of destroyed the Patriots last week. Like, I think if there's one guy that the Patriots are going to look at and say, we need to take this guy out, like, I could see them not only putting Stephon Gilmore on A.J. Brown, but also still bracketing him with safeties at all times. And because even with Ryan Tannehill, I mean, you look at the numbers Tannehill has put up from a fantasy perspective, and they are very, very good. And then you look at how he's kind of arrived at them, and it's largely due to explosive plays from A.J. Brown. Yeah, after the catch, I think it's 500-yard games in Tannehill starts. This is an explosive guy that the Patriots are going to look to take away. Now, they have the talent to also, you know, match up with Corey Davis one-on-one and limit him and whatnot. But you got to think that the target expectation for A.J. Brown is going to be lower than, or at its lowest point of any game he's played all year and with Tannehill. And thus, the projection rises for everyone on the field around him.
Well, plus Tannehill's been throwing the ball 19, 18, 22, 27, 27, 20 times. I think that changes this week. If they have to air the ball out 35 times, Corey Davis is catching a handful of passes.
Mm-hmm. At 3,800, it's just so cheap.
3,800, yes.
I was going to say, how do we feel about Tajae Sharpe? You know, let's say, because is Adam Humphries definitely back, or is he still kind of iffy?
I think he was iffy. Like last I checked, that he was iffy. I don't know if they're. He's not. He didn't practice Tuesday. I'm just trying to see if I see anything updated. Nothing.
It seems iffy.
I think Sharp's a solid play for GPP. I wouldn't consider him for cash though.
This is not a cash play. Yeah, but for GPP.
Okay, I was making sure.
Oh yeah, no. But for GPP, I mean, the way I look at the Patriots defense, and this has generally been the case, is that they are kind of a priority driven defense, right? So the one thing I could say about Davis is that because he's kind of had some big games against the Patriots, he's still going to be like priority two in the pass game. Like obviously Derrick Henry is the first guy you're always trying to stop, but you know, now it really brings, I think, Sharp and Jonnu Smith into the focus, just because those are the guys that Belichick is going to be the least worried about.
Oh, you think so? I think Jonu's going to be the one that they're more worried about than Corey Davis.
Belichick literally said in his interview, I could not believe it. I like read it again. I'm like, did that really happen? Bill Belichick said that Jonnu Smith is the most explosive tight end with the ball in his hands in the league.
But he had like some big rushing carries. And I'm, you know, Belichick is always complimentary of these guys. And
Belichick's licking his chops, man. He wants to put him in the backfield like he did with Aaron Hernandez and just let him run the ball.
I mean, that comment, that does put the focus on whoever that number three wide receiver then. I think for the Titans is going to be in tournaments, because again, yeah, I think Corey Davis has a great shot to get some volume because he's the number two, and you're going to look at Brown first. But Davis, you know, they have three good corners anyway, so Sharp might be, or if it's Humphries, that might be the lowest priority guy to stop for them and prevent defense, whatever it may be. That may end up being the guy at a, you know, near min price that you need to get in, you know, Michael Thomas and, you know, whoever else to win a tournament. So I would definitely pay attention to that, the status of Humphries, and look to play that number three receiver for the Titans in tournaments, and not stacked with Tannehill. No, just as a solo standalone, like going for all the marbles here.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break because I want to tell you about Pristine Auction. You guys are going to love Pristine Auction if you haven't checked it out. And if you have checked it out, you know exactly what I'm about to say. First of all, go to Pristine Auction, take a look around, but first sign up. It's free to sign up. Use the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word. That's going to get you $5 off, and it's going to tell them we're sending people their way. At Pristine Auction, everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. And there are so many items that they auction off every day that you're guaranteed to be able to find some great values that you can fit into your cave. No matter who your favorite team is, your favorite players, I'm sure if you look long enough, you're going to be able to find something that you absolutely love for your cave. Check out pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. All right, you guys playing either tight end in this game, Watson or Jonnu Smith? I'm not. And for DST, I could see using the Patriots for GPP. Obviously, they're a great play. But for cash games, like I mentioned, I'm going with the other game, Houston on DraftKings Buffalo in FanDuel.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith would be the one in tournaments I'd play. I think he definitely is someone that I'd consider. New England, if there's one position that they've been not completely elite against, it's been tight ends. And Smith,
he's not really a tight end, though.
He's been volatile in terms of, like, it's so frustrating, just because when you think that he's like, oh, we figured out his role, and he's like, this guy is just going to, and then he's like, there's multiple zero catch games, and it's like, well, what the hell's going on? But that's kind of the shot you have to take in tournaments. And as for the Patriots tight end situation, if you're looking for one there, I think Matt Lacoste is probably the better play than Ben Watson. I mean, they both suck, but it is what it is. There's been one game this year where a Patriots tight end has totaled more than 8.2 PPR points, and it wasn't even LeClosser Watson. It was Ryan Izzo back in week five. So yeah, it's a position I would just simply avoid. Even if they catch a touchdown, it might be like 8 yards and a touchdown. It's not going to win you a tournament. So I would stay away from those guys.
It's pretty much the only, I think, viable way to even use a Patriots tight end is if you're playing Brady, and you know, maybe the, you know, there's like a non-zero chance, I guess, that LeClosser or maybe gets two touchdowns and like 20 yards. Because you have to think about it, like, how would this one of those guys be the optimal play on the slate? And it really would have to be Cook underperforming against that Vikings defense, and then like Ertz and Goddard kind of canceling each other out, or Ertz not playing and like, you know, something happening where Goddard doesn't quite pay off his price tag, maybe doesn't get into the end zone. Like, there's a lot that has to go right for one of those guys to be the optimal play. So I think really it's confined to Brady stacks and nothing more than that.
DST, you using either of these guys, Chris?
I like the Patriots, and I think there's a lineup build that you can kind of get the Pats in cash. I still feel more confident about them than either D in the other game, but obviously the price kind of reflects that. I just think that, you know, the numbers we have on these quarterbacks making their first start in the postseason are kind of damning. So I'm not expecting an above expectation performance from Tannehill, who, by the way, you know, the fantasy numbers are good, but he's a guy that the percentage of negative plays, you know, just on a percentage of dropbacks is still relatively high. He has a few games where he's taken a handful of sacks or more. And you know, so I don't think it's out of the question that the Patriots could have a big day. And of course, they always tend to have these special teams, you know, big plays by Matthew Slater and guys like that. So I do like the Patriots defense in all formats.
By the way, I'm calling it right now. Marcus Mariota signs with the Patriots this offseason as their backup quarterback.
Would make sense.
Let's move on over to the Sunday game. By the way, guys, I'm going to the pizza buffet right after we record this. And I had some cheesecake for breakfast, so I was like, oh man, I'm not going to be hungry enough. My stomach is growling. I'm so pumped up right now. Okay, Sunday, we're playing at 1:05 Eastern time, Saints at home against the Vikings. This is the big game. I'm definitely using Breeze. I'm definitely using Thomas. Who do you guys have in this game, though?
You have to pick the Saints.
By how much? They're favored by 7.5 right now. That seems a little bit high. I mean, the Vikings are a very good team.
I just bet the over. I just take the over and not. The over has gone up. It started out at 47, I think, and now it's all the way up to like 49.5. And this could have been seen a mile away. But I'll take the over in this game. I don't know. 7.5 points is a lot in a playoff game. But if there's any weekend, I might go with the Saints, honestly, even given 7.5.
I think I'm going Vikings, but it's really close. I'm picking the Saints, obviously, outright. But with the spread, I'm going Vikings. Who do you have, Chris?
Yeah, Viking. And if you guys out there are interested in this, you know, the betting angles, you know, we're talking obviously DFS here. But you guys can follow me in the Action Network app. It's a free app you can download. And I already took Vikings +8.5 when the line first came out, and I took the over at 48.5. So I, you know, just to back it up with some numbers, when you look first of all toward the over, Breeze in the postseason in the Superdome, the over is 5-2. When a total is 45.5 or more indoors in the postseason, 24-8 is the over. That's a 75% hit rate dating back to 2003. And then as far as the Vikings, I just think that their offense is being a little bit undervalued in this spot because of how they closed the season. They didn't have Dalvin Cook, and they played a Packers defense that's really not a good matchup for them. The Packers get a ton of pressure, especially off the edges. You know, Kirk Cousins struggled in that game, and that's kind of the bad taste in our mouth because they didn't play. They rested the guys in week 17. But Cousins has been pretty good for most of the year, pretty much all year long. You know, they had some issues with volume earlier on, but that it wasn't really like an efficiency issue with Kirk Cousins. The yards per attempt was up at 8.1. And if you just look at simple rating system, which it takes margin of victory and adjust it by strength of schedule, you know, the Saints are about 2 points better than the Vikings. Now, the Saints have a great home field advantage. So you say, okay, we'll give them 3.5. That gets it to 5.5. And then you say, okay, maybe because of, you know, some of the injuries the Vikings have been dealing with, let's move it up to 6. I think 6 is a fair line. I think that the books are just kind of using recency bias to inflate this thing to 8. And Drew Brees, the most profitable quarterback at home in the postseason to fade in our BetLabs database. He is 2-6 against the spread at home in the postseason.
Dang. That's very interesting. So we can all agree it's Drew Brees, right? In cash games?
Breeze is definitely the guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you could play him. Like, in tournaments, I love Cousins. I think Cousins is a fantastic play. You think about it, like, he doesn't offer the floor you want, and that's why it's like the reason I'm not playing Brady is because if these guys have a bad passing day, they have nothing to rely upon. Their legs, they don't have it. But looking at the Saints, they've allowed 11 of 16 quarterbacks to account for multiple touchdowns. And, like, look at a pocket passer, Jimmy Garoppolo. He's been a little bit up and down throughout the year. He threw for 349 yards, four touchdowns against them on just 35 pass attempts a couple weeks ago. They lost Marcus Davenport in the edge. They lost Sheldon Rankins up through the middle of the defensive line. So I like Cousins quite a bit in tournaments. He's not cheap enough to use in cash, I don't think, because like he's only 500 less than Breeze. So it kind of makes no sense to do that. But in tournaments, I love Cousins, and he's going to be a lot lesser owned than Breeze.
I would agree with that. Running back position here. We don't even know what's going to happen in Minnesota quite yet. Can we rely on Dalvin Cook being healthy? And if so, are you using him against the Saints? Tags?
He's a tournament-only play for me. Coming off the injury, there's no way I'm paying up for him $7,800. And
he says he'll be at full strength on Sunday.
I disagree. I disagree. I mean, in cash, it's like you're taking as little chances as possible, and they didn't give you any discount in him at all at $7,800. And if the game script goes as we're expecting, you know, it's not as many rushing attempts. We don't know how many plays they're going to have on offense. I mean, I don't mind Cook in tournaments. Like, if you want to take your chances, you do it there. But, Chris, am I wrong to say that he's a tournament-only play?
You're absolutely right. And I think that it goes further than even just anything specific to Cook's situation, but it's just more the way the slate breaks down where at the price tags, the floors tend to favor the wide receivers here with Edelman, you know, averaging eight catches the game in the postseason, and Michael Thomas, you know, he has nine double-digit catch games this season out of 16 and 7 of 10 with Breeze. So I think those are the must-plays, and therefore you got to pay down a little more at running back.
So I'm using Sonny Michel and James White, but I'm also using Alvin Kamara this week. Mm. You guys using Alvin Kamara too? It's $8,200 on FanDuel.
I think he's somebody that if you're paying up at running back, that's where I'm going.
Yeah. $7,400 over on DraftKings. So he's the third most expensive running back. Our consensus projections have him as the number one running back this week. 20 fantasy points.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair expectation. I think, first of all, going back to Cook, listen, you know, shoulder injury, the one good thing about that is it's not the lower body. So it's more of a pain, I think, threshold thing than anything else. And I did some research a couple years ago when I was still at 4 for 4 and looked at running backs and every position, how they're kind of affected by the different injuries, and ended up documenting 80 cases of a running back playing through a questionable tag with a shoulder issue, and there was no difference in their production from comparing that to when they were off the injury report completely. So I don't think it'll affect him, and I think he has the potential to score the most points on the entire slate. And I think we kind of forget just how dominant he was as a fantasy player over, I guess, the first half of the season, because they started resting him a little bit, and then, you know, he missed some games. So I don't think there's an issue with Cook from a health standpoint as much as there is just the pricing, which is why I still have Kamara number one, by the way, because of you expect the Saints to score more points. But I think that all of these three running backs are viable in tournaments more so than cash just because of their price tags.
All right, guys, let's go to the wide receiver position. We're using Thomas. Who else do you like from this game, Tex?
Like, in the tournament side, I think Diggs is fine. Some people are going to run from Diggs. They're going to say Lattimore, but I'm not really one of them. He's played against Lattimore three times in his career. First time, it was seven catches for 93 yards, two touchdowns. 2017 playoffs, he totaled six catches for 137 yards and a touchdown. And then last year against them, 10 catches for 119 yards and a touchdown. Diggs is a phenomenal route runner, and he's one of those guys that's top five in the league when it comes to running routes. He's not someone that relies on physicality, and Lattimore is really good with that stuff, and that's why he does well against players like Mike Evans. But Diggs can win that matchup, and if I'm expecting this game to be a shootout like I am, you kind of have to find the value. And, you know, Thielen's probably going to be under-owned in tournaments too, so I'll probably have some exposure to him, but I'm not worried about either of these receivers. Thielen's matchup gets a little tougher, though, because even if Lattimore does shadow Diggs, which I'm expecting, you're going to see Thielen match up with Janoris Jenkins, who's been good in his own right this year. So I don't want to play either of them in cash, but in tournaments, I'll have exposure to them.
I think Thielen's an incredible GPP play. I mean, we forget how good this guy was when he was healthy. Hopefully he's healthy going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints allowed three different 49ers wide receivers to finish his top 24 options like a couple weeks ago.
Right, and Adam Thielen's way more talented than any of those guys.
I think Thielen, I'm with you guys on Thielen. I think Thielen is the tournament play at wide receiver almost, because Diggs, you know, again, it's not like Diggs has a ceiling. We know that. And the issue is kind of what does the market think? And I think Diggs will still garner ownership because he's been that kind of consistent guy. Where Steven, he's a little bit cheaper. You expect him to be a little bit lower owned, and it's significantly cheaper on FanDuel, actually, 1,100 less than Stephon Diggs. So in a tournament, you still also have Thielen. He's been moving into the slot a little bit more than Diggs. So PJ Williams or Patrick Robinson or whoever.
Yeah, what are they going to do if so let's say Eli Apple comes back. Are they just going to slide Jenkins in the slot?
I don't know. I mean, I think because Williams played, safety. And now
Gardner Johnson played safety too. He's like the hybrid. I like Gardner Johnson. He's good. But signing a Jenkins, and we haven't seen them because Apple's been hurt. But I think he's expected to come back. I just don't know how they're going to align their cornerbacks for this game.
Lattimore is the number one, the guy that would be the most limiting to whoever lines up against him, which at this point looks like it's going to be Diggs a little more. Anyone else on that Minnesota team, and Thielen would essentially be in line for the second most targets either way. I think he's a nice pivot off Stephon Diggs. And I don't think I would use Stephon Diggs in cash either just because Edelman is right there. And I think he just has a much higher floor given the matchup for Diggs.
I think it's pretty clear that for DST, none of us are touching this game. But for tight end, do you guys like Jared Cook? Do you like, we already mentioned Irv Smith. What about Kyle Rudolph? Chris, how do you feel using any of these tight ends?
I think this is another one where I don't think any tight end outside of Dallas Goedert is a guy that you could say is a guy that you're just kind of sprinkling in no matter who your quarterback is in a given tournament lineup. So I think I will have exposure to pretty much every tight end because it is kind of wide open. But I think a lot of them are going to be confined to which particular quarterback that I'm using in that lineup. So, the Vikings are number one in DVOA versus tight ends. Now, Jared Cook, not your prototypical tight end. He can line up, as a wide receiver out wide in the slot or whatnot. So I don't think you apply that and give it as much weight as you might for a more of a primary inline guy. But I do think that it's going to be tough with the quality of Minnesota safeties and linebackers and coverage. So don't love Cook this week. And then, for Minnesota, it's tough just because, as Tag mentioned, Rudolph and Irv Smith are kind of splitting, are kind of platooning. And there will be some double tight end sets, but less so because Steelen's back. But Smith was actually running more routes than Rudolph over the last four or so games. So,
but then the red zone, you got Rudolph, who's the guy, obviously.
Yeah, and that's why it's hard to really differentiate. I think I have him ranked back-to-back or something close to that. So it's more of a dart throw there. The guys, I think you stack with Cousins and don't really give too much of a look outside of that.
Tags, any thought at tight end or one of the other Saints wide receivers for GPP?
Yeah, it's really tough to go with Cook. I mean, it makes sense. He's a 4,900. The price seems viable. Like, he's been on fire producing. He has at least 54 yards and or a touchdown in each of the last 10 games, which is kind of ridiculous. But he's only seen two or four targets in each of the last four games. There has been no tight end that scored more than 6.2 PPR points against the Vikings defense this year that hasn't seen at least eight targets. So it's like he needs volume against this team. They are the best in the NFL in terms of point per target allowed. So I would find a way to get $300 to get up to Goddard rather than play Cook, but he definitely deserves he deserves thought in tournaments though.
All right, final game. It's the Sunday evening game. We got the Seahawks against the Eagles. Who wins this game, Tags? I'm going with Philadelphia at home. This defense has been playing so much better lately. I know they lost Brooks on the offensive line, but they still have a very good offensive line. And the Seahawks, they've won a lot of close games, but if you look at their overall numbers, I don't think they're one of the most impressive teams in the NFL. Now, do they have Russell Wilson? Yeah, of course, but who's been playing better football lately, Carson Wentz or Russell Wilson? It's Carson Wentz.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, but even going back to the time when Philly had their some of their weapons on offense, Carson Wentz, I mean, he struggled. They scored 7 points against the Seattle defense, and they were at home in that game as well, so I'm taking Seattle here. There are a lot of injuries on both sides of the ball, so, I mean, both teams are clearly less than 100%, but I'm going to go with the Seahawks here. This comes down to coaching for me. It's going to be a close game, and I think Pete Carroll's a better coach.
Who do you have, Chris?
Yeah, I think, first of all, this is the toughest game for me to pick a side. I think it is more like a true pick'em, but in these situations, I think you look to Russell Wilson. I think at the end of the day, the Seahawks are going to, they do have the enough explosiveness on offense with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf to still exploit Philly's primary weakness, which is going to be covering outside on the perimeter, especially. They're still banged up at corner as they have been for most of the season. So give me the Seahawks in probably what ends up being a one possession game. But something to note here, this is another one where it kind of looks on paper like, you know, there could be some points, but there's also a lot of things that point to the under in this game. For one, when you look at wild card games in the postseason dating back to 2003, outdoors, the under 34-13. When you look at Russell Wilson in spots where he's been a road favorite over the course of his career, in the regular or postseason, the under 25-16, 3-1 this season. And in the wild card specifically, Russell Wilson starts, the under is 3-1 in his four wild card appearances. And then Doug Peterson and that Eagle defense, they also play well, because they're kind of predicated on getting pressure. And they'll bring some crazy blitzes too, but they also like to try to get pressure with their front. And, that's generally easier at home. Offensive lines come in there. It's a raucous environment. So under Doug Peterson, since he took over regular and postseason, the under when the Eagles are at home, 24-10, 71% hit rate. That total sitting around 45.5 right now. This could be kind of more of a grinded out lower scoring game than people think.
You know, I think historically we've seen the Seahawks just run the heck out of the ball, and I don't think they'll be able to do that against Philadelphia, and especially with, you know, Travis Homer being the guy there. I think they have to pass the ball quite a bit in this one. Now, I think Carson Wentz is a solid GPP play. Now, obviously, we're not touching either of these guys for cash games because we got Drew Brees. Tags, which do you prefer in GPP, though?
I'd say Wilson, just because of the options he's got available. Because Wentz, we get to a point where you have to stop expecting elite numbers. Like, can he produce a floor? Yeah, he's proven that over the last month. But the ceiling, I don't think, is there against Seattle. I can't. If you start predicting Carson Wentz to win you a tournament, you have to start, like, pushing him, like, with players to you know, like, stack in your lineup. And I don't know if I could find those guys. Like, that's my problem. Greg Ward, you know, Dallas Goedert, Joshua Perkins, you want to throw him in there? A lot of it comes down to, like, is Miles Sanders going to play? I know they're saying that they expect him to play. I don't think that it's a guarantee that Miles Sanders plays this game. If Miles Sanders is out, it's going to change the entire way you have to look at this game, because all of a sudden Boston Scott becomes viable at 5,800. You have to consider Jordan Howard at 4,900, because the Seahawks, in terms of, like, points per opportunity to running backs, have allowed the third most in the NFL. So they're not an elite run defense. They're not even close. But if Miles Sanders is active, that scares the crap out of me, because I don't want to play him coming off a sprained ankle. Like, when you have to get an MRI on an ankle injury, like, I know they called it a low ankle sprain, but it to be ready and to play in the NFL in 6 days, I just don't see it being the case. So it's going to change the slate entirely. But I think I'm with Chris, though. I think this is another low scoring game that I don't need to have quarterback exposure to. Russell Wilson, they're making you pay way too much for him. Carson Wentz, probably a better cash play than tournament, but I'm not excited about it. I think the wide receiver is where I'll get some exposure to those quarterbacks.
Carson Wentz has quite a few more 20-plus point fantasy performances this season than Russell Wilson. Wilson's overall numbers are just dragged up by the couple huge games that he had, you know, 41 against New Orleans, 39 against Tampa. Besides that, Carson Wentz has been the better fantasy quarterback.
Well, look, I mean, go back to week 12 when these two teams played. Wentz, he threw the ball 45 times, just 256 yards, one touchdown, two picks, just 7 points on the board, like, as an offense. That's a problem. And
Russell Wilson completed 13 passes in that game.
Yeah, it was 13 to 25. He didn't throw the ball at all. So it's just, I mean, that's what happens with Seattle, though. It was actually Russell Wilson's worst fantasy game of the season because he threw the ball 25 times. So, yeah, I don't really like either of these guys, though.
All right, running back. I don't like either of the Seattle running backs. I mean, I don't even know what's going on in Philadelphia either, so I can't recommend anything here. What about you, Chris?
I love Jordan Howard as a tournament play. I think that this is how you have to kind of think of tournaments, right? You know, it's you have the guys that are the cash plays, and you have the guys that are kind of pivots off those guys that still make decent cash plays, and then you have the guys that you would never play in cash. And a lot of times what happens is those guys also get ignored in tournaments because you have a bunch of other options. Like, you have a Carlos Hyde, you have, you know, a guy like potentially Boston Scott. But, you know, like, looking at Seattle, the last four games, you know, as you alluded to, Tags, especially, like, Seattle's run defense is bad. I mean, two touchdowns, two running backs in each of the last four games for Seattle. So if the Eagles get down in close, especially with Sanders, who didn't practice Wednesday with the ankle, I think you see Howard and you know, Peterson kind of alluded to that. You know, the Eagles tend to hit the under at home. This is a game that could stay close and kind of stay in the realm of a surprise, like 18 to 20 carries for Jordan Howard if he kind of gets going early. So I love it as a tournament play. Would not touch him in cash. And then for the Seahawks, it's really game script dependent. Again, I don't think you can rule out like players just because it, in tournaments because of how small the slate is, but it really comes down to like Lynch. If the game stays close, Seattle's going to try to run the ball. Philly's number 4 in DVOA against the run, number 16 against the pass. But Seattle's going to try to run the ball on everybody. So they're going to try. If the game stays close, Lynch, he could get a goal line look or two and converts it. You know, maybe he ends up being that guy in that range that you need. But it's kind of a low probability. And then the same thing for Homer. I think if Seattle kind of falls behind, he's a guy that could catch 5, 6, 7 balls, kind of in that Boston Scott realm. So you have to consider them. But I like Howard more because I think he'll probably be lower owned than both of them, and he would just come out of nowhere. You know, it's kind of like with Garrett Blunt against the Colts a few years ago, where he was like, I think he was like 2 or 3% owned and went for 3 or 4 touchdowns in that game. Like, that's where I see Howard as like his like high end range of outcomes. Whereas I don't know if that's the case for Lynch or Travis Homer.
All right, Tags, anything to add for running back? You ready to go wide receiver?
Yeah, we can go to wide receiver. But Jordan Howard, I do want to say, I'll throw in real quick. Jordan Howard, I do love the tournament call there. There have been 5 different running backs, like different running backs who have scored multiple rushing touchdowns. Not a team, but one, like single running backs that have scored multiple touchdowns, 5 of them. So I like that call.
So over on DraftKings, I love Greg Ward. Every model is going to like Greg Ward based on his price point. I don't know if I'm going to be using him in those cash games, but he's definitely an option. Would you guys agree with that? And anyone else from Philly that you like? Why don't you go first, Chris?
Yeah, so, you know, Greg Ward has been a guy that there was one game Aguilar played in these last handful, but generally Greg Ward has been, you know, 6 catches. He had 4 for 71 the game before that, 7 for 61 and 1 the game before that, and then 9 targets in the game before that, even though he only had 4 for 34. So especially on DraftKings, I think he's a guy that you have to look to. It's not sexy, but you know he's probably going. He's a better. I would say he's a guy who is a better cash play than tournament play, definitely. Because I think in tournaments it's kind of easy to look at the price tag and just keep kind of going back to him and locking him in there. Although on DraftKings he's up there. Okay, 5,200. Yeah, so definitely a better cash play, I think, you know, for the floor in tournaments. And this is the playoffs. So if like Alshon Jeffrey dropped a pass that would have sent the Eagles to, you know, to advance them last postseason, like this is the time where guys like Greg Ward drop key passes.
Tags, I don't see too many differences between DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett based on recent performance. Like, obviously Lockett's the better player, but since he had that big, big leg injury where they were really concerned, he's had a couple good weeks. Besides that, he's been really disappointing. Do you like either of these Seattle wide receivers, and how do you feel about them compared to Greg Ward?
Oh, give me DK. DK at 6,100. Love him in this game. Lockett plays
1,100 cheaper than Tyler Lockett, and I think they're about the same.
Yeah, if they were the same price, I'd be like, yeah, I would mix both, but I'm going to have more Metcalf exposure just because the dude offers big play potential. The targets are there. Jerron Brown was announced out, which means more targets are available. I don't think they want to throw to Travis Homer a whole lot. Like looking at the cornerbacks that the Eagles are going to have out there, Jalen Mills is a 4.6 40 guy. Rasul Douglas, if he plays, he's a 4.5 940 guy. Avante Maddox is like 4.39, so he's the one that they should try and get on Metcalf, but he's been playing in the slot a little bit. It's with all the injuries they have, we really don't know how they're going to align the secondary. But I like Metcalf. The Eagles have been burned on the perimeter
for cash games or GPP.
I honestly think that you could use him in both. I don't think I'm going to use him in cash just because I'm going to pay up for Michael Thomas and Edelman, and I don't think I could pay over $6,000 for 3 receivers. But I'm going to have plenty of Metcalf exposure in this one. I do like him quite a bit.
I feel like we've kind of just skipped over tight end because if you're going to use whichever tight end you're using, it's in this game, I would imagine, for cash games. Dallas Goedert or Jacob Hollister, that's the question. Chris, who are you going with?
I think Goddard is still the guy because, you know, Hollister has – he's essentially the number 3 target for the Seahawks, but – that hasn't necessarily translated in every game. He's going to get probably 6-7 targets in this spot, but Seattle just has such a low floor when it comes to, when you think about a player's floor, a good way to look at it is look at the, like, you know, obviously we're looking at target share, but you're also looking at the team's pass attempts, and Carson Wentz has been over 40 pass attempts for the last 7 games. He's had at least 40 pass attempts in each game, and Dallas Goedert is essentially there, especially if Ertz misses there. He's their go-to guy. He's right there.
Like, seriously, over under 10 targets this week if Ertz is out.
I mean, I'd probably go under just because median project, but like, there's a good chance he goes over that. I would probably go just under. But yeah, there's a good chance that he's right in that 8, 9, 10 range, regardless, even if Hurts plays, to be honest with you. And Seattle's been bad against tight end, so I think he's the play. And then, you know, tournaments, that's when you kind of pivot to a guy like Hollister. Russell Wilson makes magic happen in a postseason. But yeah, I think at wide receiver, DK Metcalf, I love both Lockett and Metcalf, but and I think you even look at Moore as a more probably plays more snaps than Turner. We'll see, because it kind of slipped at the end of the year, but Turner has that concussion protocol. So I think Metcalf is a guy. He played 98% of the routes 2 weeks ago, and then 100% last week. If you kind of project that out, there's an increase in targets there, and he's in his last eight games. Six times he's at least 70 yards, six catches, or a touchdown. So
yeah, that's what I had. It's the exact stat I had, dude. Like, it was seven of the last nine games he's had at least 75 yards and or a touchdown. Like, his targets are there, right, with Lockett. And he's actually, in terms of, like, if you look at them on the season, he has just 10 fewer targets than Lockett. He has just 157 fewer yards, one fewer touchdown. Like, he's not far behind Lockett. And this, I mean, to get a $1,100 discount makes some sense. I still like Lockett, but Metcalf at the discount makes sense. And real quick, before we like end the show, guys, so Hail Mary. So you were talking about Carson Wentz, Bobby, right? And I want to mention that Robert Davis at 3,200, he's the number two receiver opposite Greg Ward. He's playing all the snaps where J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Deontay Burnett are splitting those other two when they go three wide. So Robert Davis is like a guy that had multiple long touchdowns in the preseason this year. If you played preseason DFS, he probably won you some money. But 3,200, he's really cheap for a tournament. And again, I don't think Ertz plays this game. I don't think there's any way he plays through the lacerated kidney from just 2 weeks ago. There's a lot of risk involved with that. That could, like, really, really hurt him. I don't think he plays. I love Goddard, but Joshua Perkins is someone that you should definitely consider in tournaments at 2,900. He would be someone, like, if Ertz is officially ruled out, Perkins and Dawson Knox are the two cheaper tight ends I'd look at.
I love that call.
Like, I'm making my projections assuming Ertz will miss. I think it's just gamesmanship with him kind of, you want them to prepare for him. But Perkins is my tight end five this week, assuming Ertz is out. So I love that call.
All right. Anything for DST, or you guys want to go lock of the week?
DST here. I mean, like I said, the DST is more about what the salary I have left over is. I do like Chris's call, because typically with defenses, you want a home defense then in a close knit game. That's the favorite. And Houston, they check all those boxes. So maybe Chris kind of talked me into the Texans at 26, and they're, like, obviously cheap. So I might just go that route.
All right, guys, let's go lock of the week then. Chris, you get to go first. Cash game lock of the week. Who is definitely going to be in your lineup?
Julian Edelman. Again, you know, averaging eight catches plus per game for the last five postseason. Going to run a lot of his routes on Logan Ryan, who's been giving up, I believe it's, you know, the most yards. Correct me if I'm wrong. It might be up there, but I think it's the most yards in the slot of all cornerbacks this season. Either way, he has not been good, and Edelman's going to be leaned on, and the price is right. So, yeah, Julian Edelman.
Tags, you can't take Edelman. Who are you taking?
It's Michael Thomas. I mean, Michael Thomas, you play him. You play him on a 16-game slate, and you don't ask questions. You play him on a 4-game slate. Like, he will not be. I don't think I'm going to have a lineup without Michael Thomas, to be honest with you. And that's, I know that's like a no-no in DFS, but I sometimes take a stance on a player. And
I mean, his ownership's going to be like 85%.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to sit there and worry about what Michael Thomas is doing. He, by the way, just so you guys know, how, like, you know, he's ridiculous. Like, when a target's thrown his way, he catches it. Like, he's over 8. I think it's like 81% catch rate this year, right? Which is ridiculous. Xavier Rhodes, 84% catch rate.
Oh, what happened to him?
This secondary. No, he looks clunky out there, man. And he can't hang with Michael Thomas. And so Michael Thomas is a lock for me. But Edelman, yeah, those are two of my cash game locks. I think Kamara and Goddard are probably the other ones if I had to pick. But yeah, definitely love it.
I couldn't decide between Goddard and Drew Brees. I'm going to go with Drew Brees because I could see using another tight end. I can't possibly see using another quarterback in cash games than Drew Brees. So our locks of the week, Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Julian Edelman, and Chris, that's all for today's show. Thank you for taking the time to come on.
Thanks for having me, guys, and always enjoy it. Let's get this money. Good luck this weekend.
Good luck. All right, guys, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Future. You can sign up for Future today at tryfuture.com/fantasypros and get 50% off your first month. That's tryfuture.com/fantasypros for 50% off your first month. tryfuture.com/fantasypros. And Pristine Auction, make sure to check out what they have for you. You're going to love it and find some great values. Again, everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. Sign up and use the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $5 off. And don't forget to check out our DFS optimizer at fantasypros.com/optimizer. It's going to save you hours of research and hopefully help you win some money like it did for me last week. And again, you've got to become a Hall of Fame user so you can get the most out of our DFS tools. If you don't already have Hall of Fame, we have a special $10 offer for 6 months of our Hall of Fame package. You can get more details and claim this offer today by going to fantasypros.com/offers. For Chris Raybon and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble. Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.